This evening, I would like to share with you from James chapter 3, verses 13 to 18, about true wisdom or biblical wisdom. Shall we stand as we read James chapter 3, verses 13 to 18? We'll read the six verses together. It's not very long. James chapter 3, verses 13 to 18. If you have James chapter 3, 13 to 18, let's read together. 1, 2, 3. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him shew out of a good conversation his work with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strive in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. The wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easily to be entreated, full of mercies, good fruits, without partiality, and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Amen. Please be seated. You know, many a time when we pray, it is quite common to hear asking for prayer for wisdom, especially when we are in a situation where we do not know what to do, you know, how to do, and I think it's just right that we look to God and ask God for wisdom, how to look at things and see things, and at the same time to receive God's direction as to how we should proceed. So I was thinking, because we always been talking about wisdom, but perhaps it'd be good for us to have a look at what James chapter 3, verses 13 to 18 has to say concerning about this matter. And just now we find that the Bible here in James chapter 3, from 15 to 17, tell us that actually there are two kinds of wisdom that is mentioned here. All right, there's a false wisdom, or the earthly wisdom, as is mentioned in verse 15. And then there is the true wisdom in verse 17. The Bible says the wisdom that is from above. Okay? But what is wisdom? What is true wisdom? The Way of Life Encyclopedia of the Bible and Christianity by Brother David Clough define wisdom as the knowledge and the fear of the Lord, which results in hatred of sin and a love for truth and righteousness. All right, in Job chapter 28, verse 28, the Bible tells us, "And unto man he said, Behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding." Psalms 111, verse 10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandment, his praise endureth forever." And then we have Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fool despise wisdom and instructions." All right. And then, of course, there's the chapter 2, verse 10 to 13, where it talks about this matter of wisdom and knowledge. All right. It says, "When wisdom enter into thy heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh forward things, who leave the path of righteousness to walk in the way of darkness." And then Proverbs 9, verse 10, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. And then finally in verse 33, "The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility." So, Of course, there are many people who define biblical wisdom in a more straightforward, layman kind of thing, you know. But I think basically is there must be, number one, that it is from the Word of God. And then number two, that there is the understanding of this Word of God. And after meditating, you put it into practice. And then the practice will always result in these two aspects. Is to love God and to hate sin, you know, and to live holy and to know good and evil and things. So, Brother David Clough gave us quite a good definition of wisdom. But then the thing is, what about the Bible? What does God say concerning about this matter of wisdom, besides knowing what is wisdom? I believe it is God's will for us to have wisdom, because in James chapter 1 verse 5, James tells us, if any man, any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. You know, even with James chapter 1 verse 5, so clearly make known to us that it is God's will that he wants us to ask him for wisdom, but many of times we choose to seek the other wisdom, you know, our own wisdom, and then try to look at things and situation and try to respond in our own reasoning, our own thinking. But may God help us that we always learn to pray and say, God, you know, I need wisdom in this from you, and what is it that I need to do as far as you are concerned. I think it is something that though we know very well, but yet in practice, in life, in our faith, we need to ask God to help us to be more consistent and be more diligent in that. The other thing is, though we know that it is God's will for us to have wisdom, he promised us to give us wisdom. Even in the Old Testament, he promised King Solomon wisdom. 1 Kings chapter 4, verse 29, and God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceeding much and largeness of heart, even as the sand that is on the seashore. In the subsequent verses, you'll find that God says, Solomon, I give you wisdom as I have promised you. And I believe God promised us wisdom also, and he will also give us wisdom. So why does God want us to have wisdom? The Bible tells us that wisdom is the principal thing in life and more valuable than all precious commodity. In Job 28, verses 12 to 19, which is not in here, there is a description about wisdom and other things, and why wisdom. Anyway, we look at Proverbs 4, 7. It says, wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Proverbs 8, 11, for wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired and are not to be compared to it. Proverbs 16, verse 16 also mentioned, how much better is it to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding rather to be chosen than silver. Okay? So, God wants us to look at this matter of his wisdom as something that is far more precious, far more important than many, many of the wisdom that is available. So I believe it is important for us to have that attitude, to take God's word and to take it as face value. And you know, sometimes when we look at things, what is important to us are those things that we will set priority, we will place emphasis, we will work towards it. You know, so let's ask God to help us to change our value system, that God's wisdom, like King Solomon, when God asked him, what is it that you want? King Solomon said, give me wisdom so that I can rule the kingdom for you. And of course, God gave Solomon more than just wisdom. Through wisdom, God blesses Solomon with the riches and with really the wisdom. And we find, if you read in the book of Solomon, and even in other Old Testament, first the book of Chronicles and Kings, his wisdom spread throughout all the region of the earth. Many people come just to want to hear Solomon speak and hear his wisdom. Of course, Queen Sheba, and then there is the matter of how two women came to him and then asked to settle this issue, and how Solomon was so wise. It's definitely, you will not lose out if we ask God for his wisdom, okay? So how do we get wisdom then? I believe, first of all, you need to desire it. We need to really ask, put in our heart and say, the most important thing in, as far as God is concerned, I want God's wisdom. You know, how to live this life for him and deal with the life. And since it is more precious than anything in this world, secondly, we need to seek it. We need to know it through God's word, prayer, of course, through godly examples. You know, I believe if you are with the wise, you learn from the wise. You become wise. But you are in the midst of the fool, or fools, you become fools eventually, because they will influence you. So it's important that we learn. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 28, the Bible tells us, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. To understand it, how do we do it? Actually, King David has a lot to say about this matter, understanding God's word. And that is through meditating on it. All right? Meditate until God's word is so true, so clear, that all you need to do, the next thing is, without any shadow of doubt, just do it, obey, and then practice it in our daily life. So much so that as we do more and more, it becomes a vital part in our life, and eventually it becomes part of our life. I think that is why some people who are considered wise have been looked upon, because their lives speak a lot. The way they talk, the way they think, the way they respond to situation and circumstances, and even in relating with people, it speaks a lot about them, because of the, what do you call it, they live out the wisdom. You know, whatever they do and they say, it has impact upon the people around. It causes people to want to know how they do it, you know, what makes them the way they are. Anyway, let's look at an example in the Old Testament, King David. Because he says a lot about meditating on God's word. All right? He said that God is teaching him in the night watches, and he was meditating upon God's word over and over, and spending time meditating. Which means he reads it, he thinks about it, then he takes it in, he digests it, and then he applies. Psalm 63, verse 6, when I remember thee upon my bed, I meditate on thee in the night watches. But the rest of the verses, if you read, it talks about how David put meditation of God's word in his heart, in his life, as something that is part of his thinking. Psalm 77, verse 12, I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doing. 119 verse 11, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. 119 verse 15, I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. Verse 23, princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. You know, it's something that we need to learn. When people speak of us evil or do evil unto us and all those, what comes into our mind is to think of God's word, how we should respond according to God's teaching and God's principle. Many a time, it's so easy to just, in our own fleshly or old nature, you know, will come in. It reminds me of this patient that I have. I mean, It's quite eye-opening. Before this incident happened, when I was my OT asked me to conduct the session with her. She's about a 70-plus year old lady, speak Hokkien or dialect, but she have professed to trust the Lord and have been a Christian for 6 years. And when she sort of tell me about her story, her plight, you know, how she's alone and nobody call, no children, the children just give her money and all those kind of things, and how she looked to God and how she pray, and then say, and it doesn't matter, like, as long as I can pray to Jesus and Jesus here, good. So I was very encouraged. But you know, it's one thing to have that. And just about yesterday, when there was a little incident happened with one of the staff nurse, she wanted to buy something and asked the neighbor across, the maid, to help to buy, because she get quite sian with the food ready, you know. But the staff nurse, out of concern, stopped that, because, you know, the food that she's supposed to take is supposed to be not those kind. She want to buy cup noodle. And then, but according to her, she get upset because she couldn't get that. And then, to her, she felt that why she should stop her, you know. And it was a totally different kind of picture that I get. She was scolding all the vulgarity. She was just in her old nature. You know, she was making such a big fuss and scolding and yelling and keep continuing for at least an hour or so. You know, so I just want to use this. I just remind myself, you know, it's one thing to say how much God is to us and our faith and everything. But yet, when we are in a situation, if we don't have God's wisdom, and of course, later on we'll find in James chapter 3, verse 17, when we have God's wisdom, how it will manifest out in itself. It will not be that way. All right? So, I just want to share to remind us all that may God give us grace to not to allow the flesh to in any way create problem like that. Because testimony is been destroyed. Of course, I'm not affected in because I understand, you know. But imagine if the same situation, there's a younger Christian, you know, you can get stumbled. Anyway, just want to share this this something that I've come across to say that it's very important for us to also allow God wisdom to practice it, to be something that is our life, okay? So in the rest of the scripture verses, you'll find that in 119 verse 48, my hand also will I lift up unto thy commandment which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statute. I'll finish the last two, then we'll go straight into James chapter 3 verse 13 to 18. Verse 78 of 119, let the proud be ashamed, for they dealt perversely with me without a cause, but I will meditate in thy precept. And then Psalm 77 verse 12, I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of all thy doing. Alright, so in James chapter 3 verse 13 to 18, we find James saying that who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his work with meekness of wisdom. I like for us to observe three things in this six verses. That number one, we see with regards to wisdom, the origin. There is a contrast of two wisdom and where did they come from. All right? And then secondly, how it works. Whoever have got the wisdom of these two, it works differently in the sense it affects us differently. And then, of course, at the end, the outcome. As I mentioned earlier, and then in verse 17, it tells us the characteristic of one who truly have the wisdom of God in their life. They meditate and they apply and have a whole of it through the working of the Holy Spirit. You can tell that this person, through his life, through his, the Bible says, conversation, is truly of wisdom from God. Okay, let's take that. Okay, for contact purposes, and I searched this commentary. It says that James, in this context, is talking about if someone who wants to take the office of a public teaching, of someone who stand and to teach God's word, It's of someone that must have wisdom and knowledge. All right? And not only that, but in verse 13 says that let him show out of a good conversation his work with meekness of wisdom. Philippians chapter 1 verse 12 tell us that only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. All right, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affair, that ye stand fast in one spirit with one mind striving together for the faith of the gospel. Basically, it simply means if a person who wants to stand here and be of a public teaching ministry, for that matter, you know, leading people in the word of God, that person must not only be eloquent. You don't look for a person who is eloquent, but James is giving the qualification in the sense that we look out for something more, that is a person that is endued with knowledge and wisdom. All right, and later on, of course, James expanded this matter of what wisdom. And let us see there's actually a difference between the earthly wisdom as well as wisdom that is from above. All right, so the context here is giving us the idea that whoever wants to hold this office, we should look not at the eloquency or, you know, just because the person can deliver very well and public speaking, does not mean that that person is qualified, but rather a person that is endued with knowledge and wisdom. In verse 14, you find that James, expanded this. He said, but if ye have bitter envying and strife in your heart, glory not and lie not against the truth. We can tell when people, you know, it reminds me of a lot of, sometimes when I speak to some patient, they're self-made, you know, and they always have this confidence, and they always, you can sense that attitude of very proud, you know, very arrogant. I used to start off with nothing, but you know, I work, and then I managed to build up this, build up that, and all those, and I have this, and I have that, you know, all from nothing, you know. And you could send the kind of speech. And usually, some of them, of course, they will manifest. They talk so loudly. And it's the whole disposition, you know. James tells us that when there is this earthly wisdom, it will show in the form of bitter envy and strife. And James tells us, glory not and don't lie not against the truth. In verse 15, James expanded by saying, this wisdom, the wisdom that make this person to have bitter envying and strife in their heart, you know, is not from above. But where is it? It's earthly. All right? Sensual and devilish. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 3. Paul said that, for ye are yet carnal, for where else there is among you envying and strife and division, ye are ye not carnal and walk as men? So, when we embrace the wisdom that is not above, there's only two wisdom we can get, either wisdom from above or the wisdom here, the earthly, the worldly wisdom. When we talk about this matter of earthly or worldly wisdom, actually you can see all over us. In fact, it's so prevailing. Every day, every now and then, we've been bombarded through the media, through the New Age philosophy, through, you know, this positive psychology, and through a lot of, you hear a lot of this motivational speaker. You hear a lot about the end justify the means, you know, pragmatism. You hear a lot about this matter of survivors, the fitters, and all those. Everybody is doing it. What's wrong with it? And things like that. But as people who embrace this earthly wisdom, James said it is sensual, it is devilish. Of course, we know that this whole worldly philosophy and the world system is all from the devil, Satan. All right. That's why James described it as devilish. Sensual. Of course, it is always has to do with the flesh. It starts with man, it ends with man, you know. So we need to be very careful when we are among our unsaved colleagues and all those, and especially when we are the only one, day in, day out, when we hear, when we see, when we are influenced by these people, we need to ask God to give us grace to shield ourselves, that we will not become influenced or in a very subtle way become like one of them in our spirit, in our attitude, in the way we conduct ourselves. All right? Verse 16, James tells us, "For envying and strife is there is confusion and every evil work." I want for us to consider, when we look at the manifestation of how things are in terms of the way we live our life, our value system, and what is being propagated, you know, taught, we need to ask God to give us grace to ask ourselves, is all this from God, or is it of this earthly, sensual, and devilish wisdom? Because there is two kinds of wisdom, like I say, in verse 17. But the wisdom that is from above, all right? And this is something that we need to ask God to help us to always be very sensitive, okay? It comes from God through His Word. And then, of course, in order to have the wisdom of God, we need to know the God of wisdom, all right, through our Lord Jesus Christ. First, through salvation, where our mind will be transformed, our heart can be changed and turned towards God. And of course, our whole value system shifted. When we look at the way we should live our life in relation to God now, we see the things that God sees. You know, seek things that are above, set your affection above, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And of course, if you really want to have a practical understanding about how to deal with day-to-day, I think Proverbs, the book of Proverbs, will be a good book to start. It deals with a lot of matters with regards to marriage, divorce, relationship, friends, money, and many, many other aspects. Or anger, even jealousy, envy, even this matter of filial piety and all those kind of things. Proverbs will be a good book for us to start off with, learn. I think today, one of the very great lacking in our educational system is to teach our young people true wisdom, wisdom that conforms to the principle of the Word of God. And I believe why we have so many problems today, and precisely all the wisdom that has been given to these people is of this earth, is sensual, is devilish, and that's why it manifests a lot of strife, envy, you know, there's this fighting and all those, okay? But James tells us not only that there is two kind of wisdom, earthly wisdom and true wisdom, he also tells us that how it works in verse 16. "For where envy and strife is, there is confusion with every evil work." You want to see what wisdom a person have and live with? You see by the way he deal with his life every day, the way he talk, the way he deal with situation and people. All right, and I believe the example that I just mentioned, she do not really understand the wisdom of God. Because I believe if the wisdom of God is really, she would have learned how to control her anger, you know, commit the situation to God, and the Holy Spirit would take over. And the Bible here says that the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, the word gentle, you know, full of mercy and good fruits. You find that the idea here given to you is a very gentle, meek, tender kind of manifestation. So in verse 16 and 17, we see that there is the way true wisdom or godly wisdom and earthly false wisdom show itself. Okay. And then finally in verse 16 and 17, we see the contrast in the outcome. If you read in the book of Proverbs, even in the Old Testament, you'll find that whenever God wisdom is being, the person is being blessed with God wisdom, the person will also be blessed with successes and protection and a lot of, like for example, David, protection from the enemies, and how yet, even despite that, David will not, like an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, you know, like when he has the opportunity to take this King Saul's life, but he, because he remembered that that he would not touch God's ordained, okay? What God had anointed, who is he, is anointed by God. And because of that wisdom that God has given to David, David is able to conduct himself in a manner that befit the wisdom. So what I'm trying to bring across to all of us is that as we go through our daily life, as we pray for God's wisdom, may we take time to evaluate, to reflect, to take stock that whatever wisdom that we have, is it the earthly wisdom or is it the wisdom of God? And of course, you can never have God's wisdom apart from knowing His Word through the working of the Holy Spirit. Of course, sometimes God also speaks to us through prayer. As we pray, the Holy Spirit, touch us in a sense, you know, speak to us and help us to be able to very tenderly submit to the working of the, and the leading of the Holy, the prompting of the Holy Spirit. And then we just do. But without God's Word, without, of course, in a practical aspect, there are many ways to learn wisdom. Right? For example, like if we there's a Chinese saying, you know, 近朱者赤, 近墨者黑. It simply means you mix around with good people, you learn all the good things. You mix around with all the bad people, you become black. You know, so of course, if we are surrounded with people who are wise, who have wisdom from above, we see how they live their life, the testimony, and how they respond to situation and the way they speak, you know, and sometimes it can make a lot of difference. It can really impact us in a tremendous way. The opposite also is true. You know, sometimes we think that we are very strong, no problem. I can be among them, but I will just try to influence them. But many a time, we deceive ourselves. We end up very subtly being influenced by these unrighteous people. And I just want to encourage all of us to take some time to think about this matter of what wisdom are we having as we go through our life with the Lord. All right? Thank you. Okay, now we shall close in the word of prayer, and then after we'll just take some prayer requests. Let's pray. Father, we just come before you. We are so thankful, Lord, that you save us. Not only that, you give us your blessed word and the Holy Spirit, the church, and godly people whom we can seek counsel and whom we can look upon to be an example for us to emulate. And Lord, we can be influenced and infected by the godly example in life and to learn what true wisdom is. And Lord, we pray that you will teach us even tonight as we go back, that we'll take time to examine our hearts, our life, and evaluate. And Lord, that we will not, if we have been depending a lot on the earthly wisdom and not the wisdom that is from above, we pray, dear Lord, that you will help us to change and to desire your wisdom. And Lord, that David will place your word important in our life and meditate on it and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us and show us clearly what is your will and what you want us to do in every situation, in the challenges, in the trials, and even if we're dealing with problems and people. Lord, we pray that it will be according to your wisdom and that our wisdom will show in a very gentle and meek way, and the people around us will be touched by it. So, Father, we just thank you. We commit even this time where we have the prayer request. May you just teach us to pray and help us to pray like what James said, Lord, with faith and unwavering, Lord. Thank you for this time again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.